endure the pain of rejection, physical, mental, and social pain, which comes from the world because of our faith, and follow after Jesus Christ, who obeyed his, in Christ our, Heavenly Father in all things unto death, Titus 2 verses 11 to 14, Luke 9 verse 23. We are to put on the whole armor of God and stand, Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 18. To put on the whole armor of God and stand means not to run from pain, compromise when pain comes our way because of our faith, or run after pleasure, compromise when pleasure tempts us to be at peace, that is to be at one with the world, but instead to stand, that is to remain steadfast, unchanging, faithful in the Lord, obedient to His, in Christ our, Heavenly Father above all things, no matter what comes our way. No class of civil society can play this role, facilitators of change, that is, stakeholders, taking ownership of the earth when the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, like Karl Marx, who encouraged people who foolishly listened to him to take ownership of that which was not theirs to take, saying the king's horses were the people's horses, like a woman in a garden in Eden took ownership of that which was not hers to take, eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6, emancipating society from the father's top-down authority, unless it arouses in itself and in the masses a moment of enthusiasm, a moment in which it associates, fuses, and identifies itself with society in general, experiences consensus with man and nature alone, that is according to human nature, that is sensuousness, along with dialectic reasoning, human reasoning, being able to justify human nature over and against the restraints of righteousness, negating the system of righteousness, negating those who are patriarchal in paradigm, negating the resistors of change, those obedient to their fathers will in all things, maintaining the past, and is felt and recognized to be society's general representative, possessed by a spirit, a sensation or feeling of oneness, wholeness, allness, etc., perceived by the people to have its best interest, that is its well-being in mind, a moment in which its demands and rights are truly those of society, itself, of the collective, that is of the commonality, that is of the community, of the world, discovered through the use of polls, surveys, etc., that is through opinions being exposed through dialogue, where righteousness is no longer of God only, above, but is only of man, below, that is of man working for, that is liberating the goodness, the righteousness of man, of which it is the social, sacred, head and heart, without we working for us. That is working together for change, a better life for all of mankind, that is a life freed from the restraints and the divisiveness of and the guilty conscience engendered by righteousness. A new world order cannot be actualized, cannot come into fruition. Karl Marx's critique of Hegel's philosophy of right, bracketed information added for clarity. This is the platform upon which those of dialectic reasoning stand, abomination. Having merged Marx, sociology, with Freud, psychology, both of which were dialectic in reasoning, transformational Marxists, that is social psychologists, that is facilitators of change, have made the pleasure-pain spectrum. That is the sensuousness of man, the augmentation of pleasure and the attenuation of pain, the measuring stick for the worth or value of life. They have rejecting the father's need to train up his children in his image, doing that which is right, righteous, and not doing that which is wrong, unrighteous, according to his will. They, as children of disobedience, driven by the approach pleasure, avoid pain spectrum of human nature, have negating righteousness as the way of life, perceiving it, that is the father's restraint of man's, or the child's, carnal human nature, as engendering neurosis, those of the past engendering neurosis in those in the present, that is in the moment, initiating and sustaining a tension between sensuousness, that is human nature, and righteousness, that is the commands of the Father restraining sensuousness, restraining human nature from discovering its full potential, from actualizing itself according to nature, that is the past restraining the present, the father restraining the child's natural inclination to relate with the environment, that is with nature, that is with the world in the moment, preventing the present, that is the next generation, from creating its own future in its own image, according to its own nature seeking and actualizing unity, that is oneness, with nature, that is from creating a new world order built upon human nature, established upon man's own sensuousness, purposed in the augmentation of pleasure, augmenting the enjoyment of this life for all, that is augmenting the system of sensuousness. That is which is approach pleasure, avoid pain, through the use of dialectic reasoning, that is by self-social environmental justification, that is through human reasoning and the attenuation of pain, including negating the pain of a guilty conscience, which is augmented by the system of righteousness, which is faith in, belief upon, obedience toward, and acceptance of chastening for disobedience by a higher authority than human nature, that is greater and higher than nature itself. Without dialectic reasoning being used to justify the augmentation of human nature, focusing man upon the way of the present, that is man's lusting after the pleasure or enjoyment of the moment, that is the justification. For the negation of righteousness, the way of the past, the way of the future would remain subject to the way of the past, that is subject to the conditions of righteousness. Man would remain subject to the authority of God, children to the authority of their fathers. Therefore, those of dialectic reasoning, that is facilitators of change, have made man's carnal, human behavior, his natural inclination to relate with the world, that is his deceitful and wicked heart, his propensity to sin, the standard of life. Parental discipline, religious denunciation of bodily pleasure, have all left man overly docile, but secretly in his unconscious unconvinced, and therefore neurotic. The bondage of all cultures to their cultural heritage is a neurotic construction. Neurotic symptoms, with their fixations on perversions and obscenities, demonstrate the refusal of the unconscious essence of our being to acquiesce in the dualism of flesh and spirit, higher and lower. Norman O. Brown. Life Against Death, the Psychoanalytical Meaning of History. The scriptures tell us of a different battle, of the true battle between our sensuousness, doing what we want to do, following after our human nature, walking in the flesh, living by sight, and the righteousness of Christ, doing the Father's will, walking in the Spirit, living by faith. As the Apostle Paul wrote, given below, it is not that the law of God, that is the commands of the Father, can save us from our natural inclination to lust after the things of this world, that is from our human nature to love the world more than him. The law of God can only expose our propensity toward sensuousness, that is our love of this world, that is our sinful human nature, that is our being sold under sin, which is only overcome through the righteousness of Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the obedience of Jesus Christ, his heavenly Father, even unto death, redeeming us from judgment, through his blood, which was shed for us because of our captivity to the law of sin which is in our members, redeeming us from our propensity to follow after the flesh, that is that which makes us captive to the law of sin, delivering us from the body of this death, reconciling us through his righteousness to inherit eternal life, spending it with himself and his heavenly Father along with all the saints, according to his grace, that is his love for us, his word, that is revealing himself to us, his work, redeeming us from condemnation, and our faith, trusting in him with all our heart, no longer leaning to our own understanding, that is no longer justifying ourselves, which leads to eternal death, being instead justified in him who is eternal life. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Romans 7 verses 14 to 25. The two, sensuousness and righteousness, that is man's will of sensuousness, depending on his own sense perception and his own reasoning ability to know how to think and act, with man justifying himself according to his own human nature, and nature itself, that is only by sight and God's will of righteousness. With man depending upon his word and his Holy Spirit to know how to think and act, with man being justified only through the works of God, that is according to his word, of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and by his grace, that is only through faith, can never be synthesized, that is made as one, as is deceitfully being marketed in the postmodern church, today, church growth, emergent church, contemplative church, etc., making man righteous in his own eyes, that is, following after the law of sin and death, even doing so in the name of the Lord, not only deceiving himself, but taking pleasure in deceiving all who follow after him in his deceitful ways. The question to be asked of all who propose a program of change is, by what authority are you proposing this program of change? It if is not of God, that is, if it is not according to his word and by his spirit, that is according to the will of the heavenly Father only, then it is of the world. If it is of both God and man, it is of the wolf and is the worst of all, it is of the seducer, deceiver, and manipulator of men, that is, it is of the father of lies. The hallmark of dialectic reasoning in its corrupting of the fellowship is in the fellowship, trusting men, human relationship, that is, the approval of men, over and against the word of God, putting aside the word of God, when it interferes with the feeling of unity in the church for the purpose of growth. Instead of the leadership's thoughts and actions being weighed by the word of God, according to their love of the scriptures, above all things, and their fear of God, above of things, they are instead followed by the people because of their positive attitude towards and expertise in and association with others who are successful in programs of change, programs that can be used to grow the church, that is, with man putting his hope in his own work, which is temporal, rather than the work of God, which is spiritual, deceiving himself by perceiving his work for man, peace and unity, as being the same as God's work for man, peace and reconciliation. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. John 14 verse 26. Instead of change being the heart of man toward God, through conviction, contrition, and repentance, through the hearing of the word, that is the focus being upon the righteousness of God and the wickedness of man's heart, it has shifted to the changing of the church and its programs, how it does business, for the purpose of so-called evangelization, that is, growing the church, that is, changing, humanizing the church, to keep it in step, contemporary, with the changing, carnal, world that is concern for man, who seeks change, replaces concern about pleasing God, who is unchanging. Leonard Wheat, Paul Tillich's dialectic humanism, unmasking the God above God, change, being the operative word, that is following after the doctrine of Karl Marx. The philosophers have only interpreted the world in different ways. In other words, there is no one right way of looking at or doing things. The point is to change it. So let's put aside our differences, that is our battles over doctrine, and unite upon a common cause, upon what we have in common, that is our human nature and our desire for acceptance. working together in the augmentation of pleasure and the attenuation of pain for all mankind. Karl Marx, thesis on Feuerbach number 11, bracketed information added. When ministers take ownership of the word of God, redefinition it to relate it to the carnal nature of man, that is taking that which is not theirs to take and using it for their own carnal end. They are no longer ministers of the word of God, but rather ministers of the words, opinions of men. To change the environment from the preaching and teaching of the word of God, that is from what God commands, from what he wills, to the dialoguing of men's opinions, that is how he feels and what he thinks, that is, to change. From building the church upon sound biblical doctrine, according to the righteousness of God, to growing the church upon human relationship building skills, according to the sensuousness of man, to change the thoughts and actions of man through programs, which seek to build uniting upon what man has in common with the world, is of Marxist ideology, that is of dialectic reasoning, being put into social action, called praxis. But to change the heart of man through the preaching and teaching of the word of God, as given by God, that is refusing to change it, that is refusing to compromise it or set it aside, that is refusing to bring the world into the church or justify the world in the church, that is refusing to change God and his word so he and it will no longer offend the world, changes the environment, that is, the word being preached and taught, as is only bringing man under conviction, into contrition, and to repentance before God, changes the world and is of God. While church growth type ministers will usually or occasionally preach a traditional sermon from the pulpit to silence any resistors to change, they will move the church into a social agenda socialism, that is human relationship building, socialist type activities, that is how do you feel and what do you think, displacing the teaching of sound doctrine, putting aside or reinterpreting scripture, that is using heresy sources, that is translations based upon Metzger, Alland, and Nestle sources, that is Origen and Alexandrian, that is Vaticanus B, Sinaiticus and Codex X Greek sources that cause confusion, that is engender uncertainty in regards to the word of God, thereby engendering the dialoguing of men's opinions and change in the church, or not bringing up doctrine, or not recognizing it, or chaffing at it when it is brought up, that is any, thus saith the Lord, or the word of God says, which causes division. With the building of social networking in and through church functions, as well as joining, networking, with other churches who are doing the same. More below. Instead of fighting against the church, Satan, via Marx and Freud, that is sociology and psychology, society and man, social needs and individual needs, united as one upon dialectic reasoning, that is the process of change, decided to join it, that is join the Department of Administration to help it grow the church through the use of dialectic reasoning, that is through the process of change. The dialectic ideology being, instead of the church dividing, separating, that is alienating itself from the world, and thus causing division, separation, and alienation in the world because of doctrine, basing itself upon the righteousness of Christ, that is the church being built upon the authority of God and his word alone, preached and taught as is, let it instead unite with the world using dialectic reasoning, focusing upon human relationship building skills via youth groups, cells groups, teamwork, humanitarian works, community activities, etc. with people. Dialoguing. Their opinions to a common agreed upon solution regarding social and environmental concerns consensus to resolving common felt needs, basing change upon sensuousness, that is, one, uniting the church upon the dialoguing of opinions, with the opinions of men being used to help the church discover and then unit upon the common ground of human nature, two, through the use of polls, surveys, and feasibility studies, discover the right path to take, and then three, through the use of human reasoning called enlightenment, light its pathway to growth, all the while not offending the unbeliever so that he can, without a sense of guilt, work within the fellowship for the cause of humanity, that is, work with all members for the common good, aka commonism. The Word of God declares that we be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6 verses 14 to 18, there is no let's agree to disagree, or tolerance of ambiguity in these verses, that is with God, or in the fellowship of the saints. Patience, yes, that one would repent of their sins, tolerance, no. We are not to approve of sin, that is look the other way to save face, that is so as not to offend the sinner, that is hurt his feelings in the act of chastening. If he repents of his sins, a soul has been won to eternal life, righteousness prevails. But if not, he has chosen death, deciding to remain in the way of the world, sensuousness having prevailed. Satan creates controversy, focusing upon the issues of sensuousness, that is upon man's felt needs of the moment, to negate controversy, negate righteousness. Perceiving it as the source of controversy, as in, we would not have a problem here if it weren't for those who refuse to see things in a different light, that is, who refuse to change. Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Luke 11 verse 35. As we as a nation become more dialectic in reasoning, including and especially in the church, this verse and other like it will become, have become a hate crime. To hate sin, God hates sin, to expose it and to separate yourself from those who practice it, those who justify it individually and socially, is now a hate crime. Human nature, man's sinful nature, has now become the foundation upon which the world and the church grows itself, creating itself in its own image, creating a new world order of abomination, treating man's carnal nature as though it were righteous. Even the church is now building itself upon men, justifying themselves before themselves, though their use of dialectic reasoning, that is through their use of the consensus process, that is being seduced, deceived, and manipulated by facilitators of change. At the end of the day, it is not about whether we got what we or others wanted, based upon our own sensuousness and reasoning. Abilities, that is justifying abilities, but whether we did what was right before God, according to his will, that is in his righteousness. Abomination is now upon us, not because of the government, but because of the contemporary church engendering Christians who are ashamed of the gospel, refusing to unceasingly proclaim the truth of the gospel. In love, love is not tolerant of unrighteousness. It is not tolerant of ambiguity, but calls sin what it is, sin. God chastens those he loves, and if a person refuses to accept his chastening, then he is not a child of God. To proclaim the truth of the gospel is to warn man of the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, upon those who refuse his chastening. Upon those who refuse to repent of their sins, that is, repent of their love of pleasure, the approval of men, being one of the most intoxicating of all pleasures, why so many, minster, are blind to where they are going. Taking those who admire and follow them into the process of change, that is, repent of their love of this world, who, because of their love of the broad path of the pleasures of this life, which leads to death, refuse to even seek after the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life, who refuse to humble themselves before God and seek his face, who refuse to be redeemed from judgment and eternal death, that is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God, that is by Christ who obeyed his heavenly Father in all things, even unto death, that is, reconciling us to the Father and bringing us into eternal life. the contemporary Christian is not only not capable of preaching and teaching, proclaiming the truth of the gospel at home, in the village, in the classroom, at work, in government, he is not even able to do it in the church because it would condemn him. The gospel exposing and condemning his deceitful and wicked heart, and the church condemning him for exposing its deceitful and wicked heart if he tried. In all your ways to acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3 verse 6, it is not that God has called anyone to pull up the tares in the wheat field. He warned us against it, but that we are to proclaim the truth of the gospel till the time of harvest, that those who will hear the voice of the Lord, his sheep hear his voice, will be harvested into his glory, the tares cast out and burned. God has not called us to change the world so that the hearts of man can be changed. It is to the changing of hearts, by the hearing of the word, that the world is changed, turned upside down. Satan knows that if the word is changed to be in harmony with human nature, then the world will not be changed, glorifying God for his works, but will instead glorify itself in its works for him. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 7 verses 21 to 23. What is being preached and dialogued today is a user-friendly, non-offensive, readily adaptable to change, humanized, dialectic, Christ, a positive Christ, a Christ of man's own making that is made in the image of human nature, therefore acceptable to unrepentant man, leaving him in his sin. The same can be said of those who seek to fulfill the kingdom of God according to their own cunning and strength, changing the gospel message into the works of men, working for or with God in building his kingdom, even using, twisting, scriptures, the gospel message, to justify themselves, that is, justify their thoughts and their actions, that is, justify their pride of life. In the end, it is God's work and his work alone that fulfills his kingdom. It is his kingdom, his power, and his glory that no man can boast, Lord, look what we have done for you in your name, thinking that he fulfilled it with God's help and God fulfilled it with his help. If you think God cannot fulfill his will without your help, consider the next breath you take. Where did it come from? It is not that the Lord needs you. It is that you need him. There is no we man's pride of life in God's kingdom, only he, Christ, and the redeemed made righteous because of him and him alone. His kingdom is made up of those who are dead to themselves, who have been made alive, not in their will, not in their pride, not in their works, but in him and his will, in him and his will alone, in his works alone, doing the Father's will. It is when we can do nothing to change the world, to rescue ourselves from the situation, in our own strength and wisdom, that we turn to the Lord, giving him our lives to do with as he wills, that he receives the glory. What rescues us from our use of dialectic reasoning to justify our carnal nature, which leads to abomination and condemnation, is faith in God, belief in his word, obedience to his will, and acceptance of his chastening when we do wrong. That is when we sin. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Hebrews 12:11, when it comes to what I want to do, driven by my carnal nature and what my Father wants me to do, that is to think and act according to his will, both earthly and heavenly fathers, dialectic, reasoning, sides with my carnal nature over and against my Father's will. As we progress more and more onto the side of dialectic reasoning, that is seeking after the approval of men consensus, which engenders sensuousness. That is which is our lusting after the pleasures and enjoyments of this life, that is living for the moment, we move away from the approval of God. Righteousness, who is our hope of eternal life. When the there and then, the Father, his commands, his chastening, and his promises, all according to his righteousness, conflict with our desire for the here and now, our lust for the things of this life, seeking after the pleasures of this world. That is all according to our sensuousness, dialectic, reasoning, human reasoning, comes to our aid, that is negating the there and then, so that we can enjoy the here and now. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8, verse 36. The key to understanding the dialectic process, the use of dialectic reasoning, human reasoning, that is self-justification, that is the justification of human nature, is the issue of chastening. That is negating the acceptance of it as a means for man to know right from wrong, initiating and sustaining a top-down system known as a patriarchal paradigm, with one, that is the Father as the final authority above, that is ruling over man's personal feelings and thoughts below, directing his steps, that is restraining his natural inclinations, that is preventing him from fulfilling his carnal desires, that is, finding oneness, unity, with the world in pleasure, through what all men have in common, their lust. For pleasure, that is the human nature of approaching pleasure and avoiding pain. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23b with God it, his chastening of us, is essential. For whom the Lord loveth he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Hebrews 12 6, since God is spirit, and determines what is right and wrong according to his righteousness, and we are sensual, that is of the flesh, and, left to ourselves, determine what is right and wrong according to our human nature. Approaching pleasure and avoiding pain, chastening is imperative if we are to be sons of his, as adopted sons, and not bastards. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Hebrews 12 verses 7 and 8. Without our Father giving commands and chastening us when we disobey, there is no condition of righteousness, that is, we just do what comes naturally. Get rid of the Father's right to give commands and chasten, and the issue of righteousness and of sin is negated. That is dialectic reasoning. While hardline communists killed the Father, along with those who believed in his way of thinking and acting, the consensus process is more human, encouraging him to do it himself, to abdicate his God-given position of authority for the sake of the world. Whether the Father is dead or he is still alive, but no longer functioning as a father figure, in the end it is the same, the negation of the patriarchal paradigm and the way of righteousness. While the Father chastens his children, that is, chastens those who submit to his authority, those who refuse to accept his chastening, those who refuse to submit to his authority, those who refuse to be his children, being instead the children of disobedience, he condemns. Jesus came to redeem us, reconcile us to his Father for two reasons. One, so that we would be no longer condemned, and two, so that we could come to know his Father as he knows his Father, a Father of love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness, that is. To all who repent of their sins, that is, repent of their dialectic, self-justifying way of thinking and acting, that is, repentant of their disobedience to the Father. Like the hymn, Praise the Lord, which, like so many other hymns, is no longer sung in the church today, for obvious reasons, says, Come to the Father, through Jesus the Son. Without the Father's commands and his chastening, there would be no Father-Son, above-below relationship. There would be no issue of righteousness. Our human nature is to get up in the morning looking for pleasure. We, by nature, do not get up thinking that we need restraint from pleasure, that is, restraint of our human nature, that is, chastening. Therefore, by focusing upon pleasure, that is, the enjoyment of life, not only for ourselves, but for all others, in other words, being positive, the issue of righteousness, and therefore the need for chastening, that is, restraint of our human nature, is negated. If the communists, those of dialectic reasoning, understand this, getting rid of the father's threat of chastening, that is getting rid of that which is negative, gets rid of the father's command, gets rid of the father and his authority, gets rid of the issue of righteousness in the person's private as well as his public life, that is in his thoughts and in his actions. What is wrong with the American people? Where have all the fathers gone? Off to consensus. Everyone, when will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? They have all sacrificed their children to the fires of Moloch, given them over to the beast, that is to the ways of the world, for their own good pleasure, for the enjoyment of the moment, that is for the approval of men. What is of concern is that while the Father chastens, but does not destroy, those who are his, that they might partake of his glory, Moloch, the beast, the world, those of dialectic reasoning, like a child having a tantrum, kills, tears down, and destroys all that which is its at the end of the day, for its own glory, for the sensation of control and power, for the moment. For that which is of the world, unlike God, must destroy whenever it wants to create. This is why every institution, including the church, which builds or grows itself upon dialectic reasoning, negate its history, destroy that which is of the past, so that none can go back to the way it was, since there is nothing to go back to. All they have is the sensuousness of the present, being now servants to a future based only upon human nature, that is slaves to a world of change, that is surrounded by a world of abomination, a new world order of man's, of their own making. If you think this process has no relevance to your life, the life of your children, and the world you live in, then consider this. Kindergarten was designed to give the children their first experience of dialectic reasoning. That is an experience of social life without the authority of the father, a collective life experienced by the children, being themselves, freed from the commands of a voice of authority above them, as well as freed from the fear of chastening and judgment which comes from disobeying that voice of authority above them for being themselves. Kindergarten was and is built upon the foundation of dialectic reasoning, that is for the augmentation of human relationships, that is for democracy, that is socialism, that is communism, aka communism, as most of education is today. Education Nation is the culmination of decades of dialectic reasoning infiltrating the education system of this nation through the use of Bloom's taxonomies, and is now in total control, all based upon dialectic reasoning, that is the justification of sensuousness, human nature, and the will of the people over and against righteousness, the will of the Father. It is the foundation, that is the drive behind and the purpose for counseling, the facilitated meeting, used not only in education, but in all areas of life today. What better way to help the patient, the student, the teacher, the parent, the worker, the civil authority, the minister, etc., recapture the past than to allow him to re-experience and reenact ancient feelings, his frustration with and resentment toward parents in his current relationship to the therapist? The therapist is the living personification of all parental images. Group therapists refuse to fill the traditional authority role. They do not lead in the ordinary manner. They do not provide answers and solutions. They do not preach and teach right from wrong. They urge the group to explore and to employ its own resources, to employ its own feelings and thoughts, that is its own opinions. The group must feel free to confront the therapist, to question and challenge authority, who must not only permit, but encourage such confrontation. He, the student, the teacher, the parent, the worker, the civil authority, the minister, etc., reenacts early family scripts in the group, role plays, and, if therapy is successful, is able to experiment with new behavior. To break free from the locked family role he once occupied, negate his obedience to higher authority, that is, negate a top-down way of thinking and acting. The patient changes the past, changes his paradigm by reconstituting it. Irvin Yalom, Theory and Practice and Group Psychotherapy, bracketed information added for clarity. Even the church is now built upon this foundation, placing human relationship and the environment equal with God, which makes them over and against God the Father, his Word, that is his only begotten Son, that is the Lord, and his true bride. That is the Epsilon Kappa Kappalam Deta Sigma Iota Alpha, Ecclesia, that is the called out ones, that is called out of the world of darkness, that is called out of a world of the flesh, that is a world based upon the wisdom, dialectic reasoning of men justifying their flesh, justifying human nature into the light of his glory. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Titus 2 verses 11 to 14, the good works being the result of a changed heart, seeking to do the will of the Father, not the works of the flesh, that is of and for self and the world, seeking after the approval of men. The word church, coming from the world, meaning a meeting of people in a circle in a cave, in a building of some kind, therefore subject to the state, while Epsilon Kappa Kappalam Deta Sigma Iota Alpha, the called out ones, means an assembly, a congregating separated from the world, that is man separated from the will of the flesh by the Spirit of God, subject only to the will of the Father. Though Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18 verse 20. Dialectic, reasoning, rejects, chastening, classifying it as not only engendering physical pain, but also engendering the mental pain of repression, and especially engendering the social pain of alienation, which are to be identified, confronted, and negated through human reasoning, that is through counseling, which therefore places everyone who uses it, dialectic reasoning, that is, on the bastard side of God's scale. As Abraham Maslow stated it, reversing the order, that is referring to those who accept faith, belief, obedience, and chastening as the way of life as authoritarians, and therefore as bastards. The correct thing to do with authoritarians is to take them realistically for the bastards they are, and then behave toward them as if they were bastards. I have found whenever I ran across authoritarian students that the best thing for me to do was to break their backs immediately. Abraham Maslow, Maslow on Management. This kind of statement makes it very clear where those who use dialectic reasoning stand on the Father's authority and the issue of righteousness. Dialectic reasoning unites man upon what he has in common with the world, sensuousness. The righteousness of Christ, that is his obedience to his heavenly Father, even unto death, according to dialectic reasoning, makes a man who trusts in him, that is having faith in, believing upon, obeying, and accepting his chastening, peculiar, no longer at one with the world, that is separated from the whole, a person no longer fit for social participation, especially for a position in leadership, that is making him and his way of thinking a barrier to, an enemy of, the new world order. When Immanuel Kant made reason, critique of pure reason, equal with faith, he in essence said, human reasoning, which is bound to human nature, over and against the righteousness of God, which for man requires faith. He set the course for man to hate righteousness, disguising it as being love for humanity. Statements given below by Hegel, Marx, Freud, and others confirm this dialectic attitude of contempt for and hatred of righteousness against faith, belief, obedience, and chastening, disguised as caring, that is caring for humanity. What gets lost in all this caring for humanity is the consequences of following after and justifying human nature, that is sin hell. Jesus explained caring for humanity with the rich man in the torments of hell, wanting someone to go back and warn his brothers of the consequences of sin. The response being, even if one rose from the dead, they would not believe. That is the power of the pleasures of this life, of sensuousness, of the approval of men, of the approach pleasure avoid pain spectrum of human nature, and the reasoning ability of man to control his own life. That is to augment pleasure and attenuate pain, to change the world so that all can live the good life, thereby negating righteousness. The will of the Father, and eternal life, blessing and eternal glory, and unrighteousness, the will of the children of disobedience, and eternal death, damnation, and eternal torment, as the issue of life and death. It is not that we are not to care, it is that there is more to life than caring about the flesh and the pleasures of this life. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the God. Jesus, quoting Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, redeeming man from, "And when the woman saw that it was good for food, she did eat." Through human reasoning, that is dialectic reasoning, she justified her natural inclination to relate with the world, Genesis 3 verse 6, bringing all who followed, that is Adam and all since, into sin. She was deceived, Adam was not, placing the guilt of sin upon him, who knew better. Therefore, the issue before all mankind is the issue of the soul of man and eternity, that is where he will spend it, in heaven or in hell. The gospel, the good news, is negated in the thoughts and actions of men without chastening and judgment, only becoming a social gospel, a tool of and for the augmentation of dialectic, reasoning, and abomination. Dialectic reasoning goes like this. If the guilt accumulated in the civilized domination of man by man can ever be redeemed by freedom, then the original sin must be committed again. We must again eat from the tree of knowledge in order to fall back into the state of innocence. Marcuse, to experience Freud, is to partake a second time of the forbidden fruit. Brown, in the process of history, man gives birth to himself. He becomes what he potentially is, and he attains what the serpent, the symbol of wisdom and rebellion, promised, and what the patriarchal, jealous God of Adam did not wish, that man would become like God himself. From When Church Leadership Brings Dialectic Reasoning into the Fellowship to Grow the Church, it brings the Spirit into the Church. Beware of smiling lizards, wolves, who cover themselves with sheepskin, saying they care about you. Beware of those of dialectic reasoning, who are two-faced, promoting what you perceive to be the right path because of their occasional preaching and teaching of Scripture, deceiving you, when in truth, for the sake of unity, are promoting the wrong path, justifying man's fallen human nature through the dialoguing of men's opinions to consensus. If force, which is the summation of government, is shifted from the Father, with God or the Father ruling over what is his, directing the steps of his children, to the children of disobedience, that is with man or child controlling the environment, that is seducing, deceiving, and manipulating the people for their good pleasure, then the children, who now perceive themselves as being over, equal to, therefore greater than, the Father, will use force against the Father and anyone who supports his way of thinking and acting, negating the system of righteousness, faith in, belief upon, obedience toward the Father, and acceptance of his chastening, classifying and treating it, that is the preaching and teaching of righteousness. In a dialectic world seeking change, that is in a world seeking after a feeling of oneness, acceptance as inappropriate behavior, psychological, neurotic, maladjusted, negative, divisive, hateful, lower order thinking, etc. This is how believers are treated in a consensus environment, neutralized by everyone's input, that is their position therefore being perceived as just another opinion amongst opinions, marginalized when their unchangingness is perceived as being hateful, intolerant, maladjusted behavior. Therefore, believers, fundamentalists, are perceived as being irrational and thus irrelevant when it comes to matters of importance, even in the church, that is, they must either be converted, that is, succumb to dialectic reasoning, or be removed from the environment for the sake of the institution, especially if and when they persist in their old-fashioned way of thinking and acting. This affects every area of government, from the home, where parents set policies, to the nations of the world, who seek to resolve conflicts. It includes the church, that is who and what it turns to for identity, as well as for direction in resolving differences. Because we all come into this world based upon a system of sensuousness, approaching pleasure and avoiding pain, that is our carnal nature and dialectic reasoning, is based upon what all men have in common, that is our human nature. It is referred to a heresiarchal paradigm. That is an equality paradigm of change, in that every person's feeling and thoughts naturally moves in the direction of change, that is changing with a changing environment, changing with the changing times, as the world pulls us into oneness with it. As children following after their natural inclinations, we are, according to dialectic reasoning, to all be adaptable to change. When we are prevented from relating with the environment, that is prevented from becoming at one with the world, in the moment, changing with it as it changes, we, naturally, become frustrated with and resentful towards. That is even strike out against, that which goes against our nature, if we are able. When an authority, an authoritarian, according to dialectic reasoning, who is not sympathetic with our feelings and our thoughts of the moment, our opinion of the moment, keeps us from relating with the world according to our natural inclinations, doing so through the use of commands, threats of chastening, and/or of judgment, that system of believing and acting, a system of righteousness, is called a patriarchal paradigm, that is a top-down paradigm of fixity, as Carl Rogers called it. Individuals move not from a fixity through change to a new fixity, a patriarchal paradigm of fixity, though such a process is indeed possible. But through a continuum from fixity to changingness, from rigid structure to flow, from stasis to process, a heresiarchal paradigm of changingness. Carl Rogers, On Becoming a Person, A Therapist View of Psychotherapy, Bracketed Information Added Dialectic Reasoning, is not about changing a person's belief. It is about changing a person's paradigm, his way of thinking and acting. It is about negating the system of belief itself, treating it as a theory or an opinion amongst opinions, where all behavior is subject to the environment of a person's upbringing, that is his history, where man is driven by the changingness of his own nature, that is his own sensuousness, and the environment he finds himself in, purposed in the praxis of change, that is in the augmentation of his own human nature, permissiveness and pleasure, over and against the righteousness of God, the source of restraint, that is of physical, mental, and social pain. What dialectic reasoning does not include, in regards to what we come into this world with, is the conscience. Even in young children, there is a sense of wrong in doing certain things, without being told so. It is called the conscience. Without faith, that is trusting in someone other than one's own approach pleasure-avoid-pain spectrum of sensuousness of the moment, there would be no conscience, that is a feeling of guilt for disobeying someone greater than the approach pleasure. Avoid pain spectrum of the sensuousness of the moment. In other words, man is made up of more than the stimulus response. Approach pleasure avoid pain spectrum. Materialistic ideologues preach and teach that is crammed down everyone's throat. God has given us all a measure of faith so that we would be aware of a higher authority than our own carnal nature and the temporal world around him. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Romans 12 verse 3, while the patriarchal paradigm augments, through chastening, the development of the conscience, fixity, that is faith, for the sake of doing right and not doing wrong, dialectic reasoning seeks to negate it, supplanting it with the superego, changingness, that is sight, for the sake of equality, facing reality, upon man's carnal nature only. If the individual complies merely from fear of punishment, where the will of the father restrains the child's will, that is, restrains his natural inclination to follow after his own sensuousness, rather than through the dictates of his free will and conscience. Where the will of the child, to follow after his own sensuousness, superseding the will of the Father, the new set of values he is expected to accept does not assume in him the position of superego, and his re-education, socialist, indoctrination, therefore remains unrealized. Kurt Lewin, as quoted in Kenneth Benny, Human Relations in Curriculum Change. Bracketed information added. What we call conscience perpetuates inside of us our bondage to past objects now part of ourselves, the will of the Father ruling over our will, that is, our will is to do his will, to have faith in him, the superego, unites in itself the influences of the present and of the past. The sensuousness of the moment determines the worth or value of the standards of the past, that is, the commands of the Father, that is, faith is based upon sight which negates faith, that is, man only having a semblance of faith, that is, faith in himself. Norman O. Brown, Life Against Death, The Psychoanalytical Meaning of History, bracketed information added. While the Father, with his use of chastening, engenders the conscience, initiating and sustaining a top-down system of righteousness, augments faith, dialectic reasoning, that is, the voice of the village of diversity with its tolerance of ambiguity, that is, its love of sensuousness, engenders the permissive, adaptable to change, equality, system of the superego, augmenting sight, over and against faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1 verse 17, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5 verse 4, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Philippians 3 verse 9, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 verse 6, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 5, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Luke 18:8b, the implied answer is no. The reason being, man's use of dialectic reasoning to justify himself as being righteous in his own human nature, that is, justifying himself according his own works, having put faith in his own reasoning abilities, that is, in the wisdom of men rather than in God, thereby negating faith and the issue of righteousness in his thoughts and in his actions.